me that Motzei Tisha B'Av, we have this opportunity to get together. It's fine. But that's what happens when the heart is open. When the heart is broken, like the Kotzker says, we're saying Shema every day. Doesn't mean all the words of Torah that are Alav Avecha. Sometimes Torah ideas kind of sit on us. And then the heart breaks. And when the heart breaks, all those makifin, all those ideas, all those theories, all that information, all those experiences, they fall inside. So the heart is still open. My heart broke very strong. So our hearts are open. And it's a big Kiddush Hashem that we're all here tonight. So thank you all for this. The grandson of the Rebbe Reb Baruch from Eshbiz, Chil Michel, was playing hide and seek with his friends. They're playing hide and go seek. And he hid really, really well. And after waiting there for a long time in his hiding place, he came out and he realized that all of his friends had already moved on. They stopped playing, they left. Stopped looking for him. So he started crying and ran to his Zeta, the Rebbe Reb Baruch. And he said, Zeta, I was hiding and my friends stopped looking for me. And the Rebbe Reb Baruch began to cry with him. And he said, now we know exactly what Hashem Yisborach feels. Because Hashem is also hiding. Sometimes we give up and stop looking for Him. Anochi aster aster panai bayom ahu kol hara'a asher asa. Shechinta Begalusa, the story of divine concealment, of hiddenness, the story of the last 2,000 years, even more. We were talking last night about Kinnas. The whole premise of Eicha, of us calling out, searching for, and yearning after a hidden God, like this sense of abandonment and loneliness. Tisha B'Av is like this search for meaning and clarity in what feels like a very dark and unjust world. But at the same time, that we're over and over, Eicha, 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 how could it be, how could it be? That original paradigm of Golus, the root of exile. Adam HaRishon, after the Chait, tries to hide himself away there in the Garden of Eden. Hashem Yisbarach calls out, Ayeka, where are you? As much as Eicha, we tend to frame as our search for God, it's also Ayeka, which is God's search for man. Robert Fulghum wrote a really great book years ago. The Unitarian minister from the South, from Texas. All I really needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. It was on the New York Times bestseller list for 2 or 3 years. He writes an insightful ha'aras. It's called Uncommon Thoughts, Uncommon Things. He described how when he was a kid, he used to play hide-and-go-seek. And there was always that kid in the hide-and-go-seek game. I don't know if his name was Yechiel Michel, in that neighborhood. There was always that kid who was so good at the game that he hid himself in such a way that they would never find him. He said it always turned out to be like this whole drama that would end up that the kids would want to, like, you know, they'd all return to base and they'd want to move on and the kid would make a whole fuss. And then there'd be this whole fight. Because this kid, he remembers this kid in his neighborhood, was always the best hider, would say, the game is called hide and go seek, not hide and then you go give up. like the kids weren't keeping up their side of the bargain. You can't give up until you find the person. And as he said, as he got older, so he was once sitting in his office preparing his whatever, his drushos or whatever he was doing there. And he saw that there was a kid hiding under a pile of leaves right outside of his window. And it brought him back. It brought him back to his youth. And this kid was hiding there for a long time. And he was watching from the window, and he saw that there was like all the chever that were ready by the base. And it looked like they were going to, you know, like they were ready getting to wrap it up and move on to the next game. He's like, he said he considered going out there and like lighting a fire next to those leaves just to like get the kid out of there. And he just wanted to, so he said he couldn't contain himself. Like with the thought that this kid was going to be hiding and the kids would move on and they would give up and not look for him anymore. So he said, he opened up the window and he just yelled out, "Get found, kid, just get found." He writes that soon after that, a member of his community found out that he had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Rachman al-Islam. He was a doctor. The person who knew about dying and understood the process, treatment, and what would go on. But he didn't want to make his family and friends suffer with him. He wanted to be brave, so to speak. So he kept it a secret. And everybody said how courageous he was to bear his suffering in silence, not tell others, and so on and so on. But privately, his family and friends said how angry they were, that they felt that he didn't need them. He didn't trust their strength. And it hurt that they didn't have a chance to say goodbye. He writes, "He hid too well. Getting found would have kept him in the game. Hide and seek, grown-up style. Wanting to hide, needing to be sought. Confused about being found. I don't want anyone to know. What will people think? I don't want to bother anyone. Better than hide and seek," he said he likes the game sardines. You have sardines? No, I haven't played the game sardines. I actually looked it up online. I remember sardines. It's a version of the hide and go seek. It's where somebody goes to hide and everybody goes and looks for him. And when you find the person, you go into his hiding place with them. And then the next person comes and finds them and joins them. When you find them, you get in with him and hide there with him. Pretty soon, everybody's in hiding together, all stacked in a small space like puppies in a pile. And pretty soon, someone giggles and somebody laughs. Ultimately, everybody gets found together. Medieval theologians describe God in hide-and-seek terms, calling him Deus absconditus. But me, I think of old God as a sardine player. And we'll be found the same way everybody gets found in sardines. The sound of laughter of those heaped together at the end. Problem isn't so much finding God, but it's allowing ourselves to be found by a God who's in hiding. Achein ata kel mestater. Okay, Israel. Yeshaya Novi lays a very Achein ata el mestater. Hashem is a God in hiding. Elohei Yisrael Moshiach. Built in to the redemption, built in to the Ribbono Shel Olam as a Moshiach, is that God is in hiding. And Rabbi Schiller once pointed out from C.S. Lewis that to speak of man's search for God is like speaking of the mouse's search for the cat. Unclear who's pursuing who. One time, one of the Talmidim of Pinchas Karitzer was complaining to the Rebbe that the world is so challenging in these days of Chevel Mashiach, so many Yisurim in the world, it's hard to maintain our Emunah. It feels like God is in hiding. So Pinchas told him that it ceases to be considered hiding if we know that God is concealed. In other words, it's built into the relationship that this is the way it is, and this is how the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Achein ata el mestater, Elohei Yisrael Moshiach. In order to access or identify with the Ribbono Shel Olam as a Moshiach, there has to necessarily be the element of being a Kel Mastat there. One of the most important Torahs that Rabbeinu birthed into the world is the Torah of Ayin Mekom Kvodo in Tanyan Yud Beis. It's a rite of passage for anyone trying to enter the world of connecting with, I don't want to say understanding Rabbeinu, but at least being in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Nachman. The bottom of the first column. I'll skip around a little bit. But the last line, Kisha Adam Nofel Chas V'Shalom, L'Bchinas Mekom Al-Seil, when a person falls into places that are dark and low, L'Bchinas Mekom Al-Metunafim, tainted places, dirty places, ugly places, scary places. Whether this means practically, logistically, in a place in the world or within one's own mind and inner world. We fall into a bilbul amok, into a place of confusion and uncertainty. And we feel lost and confused and listless and without direction and far away from Hashem. V'shoel u'mevakesh ayei mekom kvodo. But we ask and we plead, ayei mekom, where is God's resting place? Where is the glory of God? Nechar shero ba'atma sherachot mikvodo yisparach. Me'achar shenafal u'mekom uzke'elu. Zeh ikir tikunov aliyoso. In the bottom, explains the bottom paragraph, Rabbi Nachman continues to explain that it's specifically by that wanting and yearning from a place that we feel is devoid of godliness, from a place of feeling lost and directionless, when we pause and from there, specifically there, call out, "Where are you, God?" We in that moment, there specifically, reveal that the source of the vitality and the existence of that place is because Hashem is willing it to be. There's no darkness in the world without God willing it. There's no such thing as being lost without the Ribono Shel Olam creating the roadmap for not knowing where we are. And this is what the Gemara Yushalmi means. The Gemara says, Im Yomar Lecha Adam, if somebody were to ask, Heichan Elokecha, where is God? The proverbial story of the stola. Where can God be found? Is God in the shul? Is God in Eretz HaKodesh? Is God in Torah? Says the Kutzker, God is wherever we let Him in. Says the Gemara, says the Yerushalmi, Im Yomar Lecha Adam, Heichan Elokecha, where is your God? Tomar lo, Bekrach Gadol Shel Romi. It's in the big city of Rome, which represents in this world Hepech HaKedusha. If there's Yerushalayim that represents light, goodness, godliness, Kedusha, Le'umat Zeh, there's Rome, place of impurity, of Tumah, of darkness, of physicality. Shegam Sham, because also there in Rome, Shemaleim Gilulim Vavodazaro, which is filled with idolatry, Gam Sham Mesuktaru Yisbarach. Hashem is there, concealed. That's the way the world is built. Those are the rules of engagement as a human being in the world, yearning, searching, wanting after godliness. The word Olam, world, shares the same root as Hele, concealment. Achena, El Mestater. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the world. The world is God. Melo chal ha'aretz kavoda. V'les asar panui minei. There's no place devoid of godliness. Nothing can exist without the Ribono Shel Olam. V'aklal, two lines up in the bottom, kishen nofel l'sham chas v'shalom. The person falls there in Rome. Specifically from that headquarters of Gullus, Rome. Not Lakewood, Muncie, Bar Park, Williamsburg. But Rome. From there, if a person calls out, Ayi mikom kvodo, bezeu mechayes atzmo mechias hakdusha. We're plugged into a divine vitality, to a life force called holiness. Kichias haklipos irak me'astara. Mashin nister Hashem yisparach sham betachlis ha'astara. Ad she'ein yodin mimenu yisparach klal. It could be so thick. The covering could be so heavy, so dark. The exile could be such, we don't sense God's presence at all. We sense a void, a chasm with this empty space here. How could God possibly be in this place? But right away, by punching in that code, Aleph, Yud, Hey, Mem, Kuf, Vav, Mem, Ayim mekom kavod, punching in that code. Nimtza sheyodin al pi al kol panim sheyesh elokal yisparach. We reveal in our consciousness and our awareness in that moment, in that place, in that darkness, in that hastara, sheyesh elokal yisparach. Rakshu nistar vanela. God at that moment has concealed himself in the klipa, concealed himself, embedded himself beneath the surface, and that hiddenness is what's giving the concealment, which is what's giving the room its vitality. It's what's charging. It's the electrical current that gives it vitality and chiyus. Valkein, mevakshin ayim mekom kavodo, uvozeh ba'atzma mechaya atzma v'makom lefilasa. By calling out, "Where are you, Hashem?" I'm recognizing in this dialectic irony that God is with me. I think Dr. Benji calls it she'ilat ishur. We're validating the existence and the presence of God in a place where God is hidden. We read in the Haftorahs of the Gimel de Parnusa, one of the aspects of Yeshayahu's lament is that the Kohanim, who ostensibly were in a place of Gilui, of revelation, they were working in the Beis HaMikdash, they were there up until the very end. The Kohanim, who all around them the world is falling apart, like that meme, like that image of the guy sitting at the table, everything is burning around him, I'm fine, everything's fine. The Kohanim were there in the Mikdash, and as the world began to crumble around them, and the Hester upon him, the concealment began to settle in, instead of the Kohanim calling out, Ayim Kom Kvodo, says Yirmiyahu HaNavi, HaKohanim lo amru ayah. They didn't call out. The Kohanim knew how to do it when everything was going right. They knew how to do it when there was open miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. But as soon as it started to cave in, as soon as the whole picture began to unravel, when the darkness began to set in, they didn't call out, Ayim Kom Kvoda. All they could see was the nefila coming. All they could see was the churban and the failure beginning to set in. The whole thing starting to unravel. Perhaps had the Kohanim recognized the Torah of Ayeh, as things were starting to spiral, before they left completely out of control, before the years set in, Ayeh mekom kvodo, and a tacit recognition that Meloch la'aretz kvodo, that God is here too. But they thought it was too dark, it was too far, and that they were too deep in the klipa to fix. Shem Shmuel says, beautiful, from Zeta the Kotzker, when Moshe Rabbeinu is sent by Hashem Yisparach to Paro, the pasuk says, Bo el Paro. Literally, Bo, come to Paro. Why is it that Hashem tells Moshe, Bo el Paro, as opposed to go to Paro? Says the Shem Shmuel in Parshas Bo, the name of Hezeda the Kotzker. Ki eitzel Hashem Yisbarach, ein shayach lashon lech. When it comes to God and God's space, it's saying go. In other words, go away, implying go away from me. And you go to Paro, in other words, the implication that there is a place that I am not, that there is a place devoid of godliness, that's not part of the narrative. That's not the way Hashem Yisparach relates to us. The concept of lech, go away from me and go somewhere where I am not, even in the Memtet Shari Tuma, before Paro, it's Boel Paro. I'm there. Meloch ala Arts Kavoda. Come to Paro, and you'll meet me there. There, specifically in the Gezerah. In the Gezerah where the Jewish children are being used to dam up the Nile. There where Paro is bathing in Jewish blood. In the Memtet Shari Tuma, Bo El Paro, the Shem HaShemal says, come. That's where we're going to meet each other. Like when Ramatha was here and explained, Min HaMeitzar Karasika. Daika Min HaMeitzar. Come to me in Mitzrayim. Shem says, to pull you out of Mitzrayim, to elevate you from this place, and talk to you in the atmosphere, some Himmeldeke things up in space, up in Shemayim. That's not what this is about. Geula is revealing the oneness of God, like we said earlier today, the Aleph within the Gola. It's restoring the consciousness, the awareness of God's presence, Dafka before Paro. Where is it that we find Betilbash Esther Malchus? Where is it where Esther Hamalka, the Shechina Kedosha, where Esther reaches her ultimate state of Dveikus, Betilbash Esther Malchus, and reaches that highest level of Dveikus in prophecy? Where? Dafka the Beit Hatzlamim. Specifically there, in that place of idolatry. In Achashverosh's chamber. In that inner sanctum of idolatry. Kiles asar panu imine. There's no place that's absent, that's devoid of godliness. Kadosh Baruch Hu can be found wherever we let Him in. Concealment, hiddenness, exists because Hashem is powering it. Hashem is willing it to be. Val be'emes afilu b'chol ha'astaros. Afilu b'hastara shebetoch ha'astara. B'vadai gam sham lubash Hashem yizbarach. They left out that word in the niggun. They left out that word in the song. Because it didn't fit. Most of the best Breslov nigunim songs, you leave out the main part of the song. Vaikar shelo lefachid klal. That's not what it is. Vaikar shelo hitpachid. Don't psych yourself out. It's reflexive. Bavadai gam sham melubash Hashem yisparach. Even in a place of concealment, within concealment, Hashem is there and is melubash. He's wearing a cloak. Concealed in the darkness, in the klipa, in the tuma, in the galus itself. Ki bevaday ein shum davar shlo yeh bo chiyus Hashem Yisparach. Ki beladei chiyuso, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu actively willing it at that moment to exist in that way, lo hay Elokim klal. Rabbanit Yemima Mizrahi explains a beautiful pshat. Eicha yashva badan. Eicha Yashva Badad, three of the most painful words we have in all of Jewish history. Eicha and Badad, she says it's bad enough. How could it be that we're lonely? How could it be that we're lonely? But Yashva, that we're just sitting there as if we're resigned to that fate, not searching, not yearning, not trying to do something to get out of it, to move it forward. That's the worst part of it all. The Gemara in Sota describes what this experience in Golos is. Of Ein Shoel, Ein Doresh, Ein Mavakesh. That we're just there stuck. The Baal Tanya explains that that perception that we're not yearning and that we're not wanting, that we're not shoel, doresh, and mevakesh, is only on the outside. Ani yeshena, a Jew in Golos, is only an external reality. There's no such thing as really existing in Golos, bichlal and chutz la'aretz bifrat, going through motions. Ani yeshena is the Jewish people in Golos. V'li bi'er, our hearts are awake and on fire for God, connected to the Makor HaChayim, the divine pulse going through our veins, Every single breath, kol neshima, neshima, as Hashem Yisbarach in us, the libi air, in a certain sense, that aleph is there within, is not stuck in galus, is not asleep. We're awake, we're on fire. Shpoler Zeta, name is Rabbi Leib. He was from a place in Ukraine called Shpola. He's known as a Shpoler Zeta. One of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, say, revered as an Ohev Yisrael. Ironically so, since many people know the Shpoler Zeta because of the machlokas he had with Rabbeinu. And the drama that came about with the Kedushas Levi and others trying to broker some type of an agreement, whatever. The arguments between the tzaddikim are not for us. We're not askanim. We don't have to get involved and try to impose our will and manipulate disagreements of l'shem shamayim. But the Shpoler Zeta would say tikkun chatzos every night. And the niggun of the Shpoler Zeta, which was the precursor of the original Sohn Jam, that is prevalent and sung in Chabad in certain times. The niggun that they call Fater and Vald. You recognize it? Mike's on, Mike's on. Right, another niggun. Exactly. I mean, the niggun is penetrating. The niggun is a from top to bottom an absolute blowout and heartbreaker. The words of the niggun, I hope that I wouldn't feel self-conscious singing it, but a geschrei and a gewalt, a cry and a schrei, a yearn, and a gefilder. A father involved zog deine Kinder. He would sing this over and over again. You remember from Camp Amuna? He'd sing it. Yeah, there we go. Okay, all the Chabadniks coming out of the closet right now. Okay, good. Okay, see, moving over here. It's over and over. It's a story. It's a story which is an expression of Tikkun Chatzos. A dialogue between the Ribono Shel Olam, the father, and his children, the people of Israel. The children are lost in the forest, in the Golos. And the father is imploring them, come back. Come back, children. Come out of the forest and come back to the Holy Land. Where have you been that you've forsaken me? Dear children, come home. I feel forlorn and lost without you. And then the next stanza, the last stanza, the children then respond. Klal Yisrael responds to Hashem Yisparach. Fater, Fater, we want to come back. We want to make it out of the forest. But what can we do? There's a shomer who's blocking the door. There's a guard blocking our entryway into the palace. The imagery and the metaphor of a father and a son, of a parent and a child, yearning for one another and at the same time completely missing each other. Each one holding on, so to speak, if I could say such a thing, holding on to their version of the story. Like Brené Brown says, that a lot of time when there's conflict and there's misunderstanding and there's tension, so a way to open it up is by, you know, a person feels insulted or kind of feels slighted or feels like, you know, they've been shifted aside or whatever it was. So one of the methodologies to kind of open that up is by saying, here's the story that I'm telling myself. Here's what's going on in my mind. Here's the story I'm telling. Here's the narrative that I've built, that I've developed. More times than not, the person says, what do you mean? What? Chas v'shalom, I didn't mean to insult you. I didn't mean to exclude you. It was an old WhatsApp group. I didn't have your updated account, or I meant to, or I thought I did, or I didn't, whatever. Or they'll say, I'm sorry, I didn't know that you felt that way. I didn't mean to hurt you in that way. Here's the story I'm telling myself. The father and the son, the father involved, and the kinder who are lost. The father convinced them, I'm looking for them. Where are they? How come they're hiding from me? And at the same time, the children are saying, we want to be found. We want to come out of the forest, but there's a shomer blocking by the door. Totally missing each other. That strained relationship just becomes more distant and distant over time. And the kesher just becomes completely suffused with keivim. One of the more insightful chapters in this amazing work on the Bein HaMetzarim by Erica Brown calls it Wayward Child and an Estranged Parent. Addresses this relationship also. And points out, also from the Haftaras of the Gimel de Parnusa, regarding this tension between Klal Yisrael and Hashem that just gets more painful as time goes on. Right? There's this mentioning earlier today also from Rav Tohar Lev, his insight about what happens at the Pesach Seder between parents and children. It says that when Yirmiyahu HaNavi describes Halo Me'ata Karasali Avi, just now, like Hashem Yisbarach says, in the midst of all of this tension and misunderstanding and hiding and seeking, Halo Me'ata, from now, Karasali Avi, you called out to me, Avi, my father, Aluf Neurayata, the companion of my youth. So there's different pshatim and understanding these words from Yirmiyahu. Yesh dorshim l'gnai, v'yesh dorshim l'shvach. Different ways of understanding that completely change the way Yirmiyahu Navi's expression is understood. Rashi reads it as a rhetorical lament. Halo me'ata karasali avi. If only you would call me father. God pines for the intimacy of father and son. But it's elusive. It escapes even God. Other commentators are more generous. They see this Halo me'ata karasali avi. They see this as a call. This call as a breaking point. A way back to repentance. In the midst of alienation, there's a sudden deep need for closeness, for intimacy, that forces out the word father. Halo me'ata karasali avi. The distance collapses in this one small word. You read the words from Yeshayahu and from Yirmiyahu over these past couple of weeks, and today especially, what we see is a picture of a family in turmoil. It's a father and his estranged adolescent son arguing. We know what that looks like. The child wants more independence. He tries to break away and assert himself. The father, the parent, feels scorned and used. Others have replaced him as the center of the child's universe. We know what this feels like. From one side of the coin or the other. I'm beginning to understand a little bit what both sides look like. Friends and acquaintances all seem more important than the very parent who gave him life. In the height of accusation and dissent, in the midst of this tension of, you know, are we playing a board game now? We're playing Ticket to Ride, or you go and hang out with your friends? We're going out to Katzefet Erev Shabbos, or no, you just want to stay back and whatever. At the point where this is starting to boil to the surface, there's suddenly the meek voice of need. Halo me'ata karasali avi, father, Abba. The father turns in surprise. Did you call me father? Suddenly the father is taken back to another time and place. To the days when his young, innocent son held his hand and walked with him in the park. He remembers that he was once the companion of his child's youth, Aluf Neurayata, his son's best friend and hero. All of this because of one word of love, father. Oy tate, Abba. In the midst of all that tension and misunderstanding and standing on ceremony and marking of territory and show of force and headbutting, one word straightens the whole thing out. How much estrangement and distance, fear, melt away with one word. Shmuel Tal Shlita One of the more interesting and inspiring, complicated Torah figures in the world today. Has given chaburas to Talmidim in the yeshiva and members of the kollel, also to wives of Avraham and to the high school students in Yad Binyamin. And the text of that chabura to kind of address this reality of this complicated tension, hiding and seeking that we engage in with Hashem Yisparach. He uses as a text Aviatar Banai's song Abba. You listen to it together and get into it. Of Abba Nirotzel Amod Mulcha. I want to just stand before you. Lamin Shata Abba Tov, to believe that you're a good father. Stage 2. Abba Nitzarich Ladat Shata Ohevoti. I need to know that you feel the same way about me. Kachastam. Abba Tov. And Rapal explains that when we stand before Hashem and we use that word, Abba, or Dad, or Father, or we address the feminine divine, we address Hashem as a woman too. Shechina Kedosha. It's also okay, it's not progressive. It's the language of the Kabbalists. If our agenda is Dveikus, if our agenda is drawing close to Hashem, whatever. Some people have daddy issues, it's not so simple. No, it's not so simple. There's a lot of tension sometimes. Fathers, explained earlier today. Hashem as Makif, as Mesavev, is Abba. Hashem as Mamale, as Pnim, Shechina Kadosh is Ima. But how much estrangement and distant and fear and confusion and alienation melt away when we stand before Hashem as Father and express Abba ni rotze lachzor elai, I want to return to myself and tzo otcha sham iti, and find you there with me. Hamashkevi b'leilos bikashti eshahava nafshi. We lay down at night in our bed. Bikashti v'lo matzativ. We seek after the love of our soul. We don't find him. Akumana v'asovva ba'ir. So we get up, restless, listless, not settled. We arise and go about the city. Krach gadol shabaromi. Shvakim v'rechovot. Throughout the marketplaces and the streets. Avaksha shav nafshi. This is a love song. This is the way Shlomo Melech describes our love. Searching, listless. Scaling these city walls. Bikashti v'lo matzativ. Yearning after, searching. But I still haven't found. We can't find Hashem. Not in the city, not in the field, not in the marketplace. Mitzauni ha-shomrim ha-sovim ba'ir. But the shomrim, I found the shomer. I found the guards. The ones who are on patrol. Et shav ha-nafshi ritam. Have you seen him? Who I'm in love with? Who my soul loves? Shav ha-nafshi ritam. Did you see him? Do you know where I can go? Says Rav Nassim Lakutei Halachos, these shomer masovim ba'ir are the neshamos sheshomros and mamtinos and metzapos leYeshua. Are the souls who are still holding on, they're still hanging on. They haven't thrown in the towel, they're still asking, Ayei Mekom Kvodo. Have you seen my beloved? He's not here in the city, not here in the field, not here in the street, not in the marketplace. Have you seen him? Ayei Mekom Kvodo. What does it mean to be Haneshamos Sheshomros and Mamtinos and Metzapos to Yeshua? Says Rashi, when Yaakov Avinu learns of the jealousy between his sons and understands that this is going to be the beginning of that downfall, the brothers are going to end up He has a premonition that this is going to be the fulfillment of the bris ben Absalom that he got from his Zaidi. That this is not going to end good in the short term. When Yaakov Avinu understands that there's jealousy between brothers, Va'aviv shamar tadavar. Says Rashi, what does it mean? Va'aviv shamar tadavar? That tension, that family dysfunction. Says Rashi, haya mamtin mitzapim masayava. He was waiting and looking forward, an expectation, when its fulfillment would come. As the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, shomer amunim. Waiting, shomer, waiting. Not fulfilling, waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise. Proactive waiting. Looking toward, searching, yearning. Mitzauni hashomrim asovim be'ir. The shomrim, the guards that were on patrol, they're proactive waiters, searchers, yearners. In the waiting room, literally. Once it's a medley, it's the niggun of the waiting room. I wait. I'm a patient boy, but I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Everyone's waiting. Everyone's waiting for something. Everyone's waiting for someone. This little book of poetry that Rav Weinberger suggested years ago in a shir, I just picked up recently and got reacquainted. It's from a woman named Ruth Lewis, although I don't think that's really her name. I showed this to my wife, and she said it sounds like something she read in Family First every week for the past 5 years. But whatever. It's called Waiting. It's not by Fugazi. Waiting for the morning school bus with my 4-year-old. Sometimes it takes a while. I teach him to daven. Hashem, please send my school bus. But he'd rather look at cars. I take over. Hashem, please send my little boy his school bus soon. My oldest son, on his way to shul, waves to us. I switch prayers. Hashem, please send my oldest boy his kala soon. A neighbor passes by. I switch my prayer again. Hashem, please send my neighbor a baby soon. Standing there thinking of this one's tzaros and that one's pekula, I pray. Hashem, please send Am Yisrael Mashiach today. But sometimes, that early in the morning, my mind's not clear. I hear my lips befuddled, murmuring, please send my little boy a baby. My big boy, Mashiach. My neighbor, a school bus. And Am Yisrael, the right kala. Does it really matter? It's all one. All one waiting, really. We're all waiting, waiting, waiting for Hashem. Rav Kluger brings in the Sharvit HaZahav, life-changing Perush on Megillas Esther, regarding the Hastara, Shabbatoch Hastara, regarding that concealment within concealment. That all of this hiddenness and darkness and Hastara that we sense in the world is drawn from the Eima Chashecha Gdola, that the Arizal says, the bris with Avram Avinu that began the story of Klal Yisrael, Chashecha Gdola, is a darkness that continues to envelop us. He says that from within that darkness, that pile of leaves, so to speak, that we're hiding under, waiting to be found, is built in the tacit recognition that Hashem is still searching us out. Says the Tana Devel Yo, the Rebbe brings this. Meid ani alei shamayim va'aretz. I testify with heaven and earth as my witness. Shekodesh Baruch Hu Yoshev u'metzapa lehen liYisrael. Hashem is sitting there waiting for the Jewish people. Yoser mimasha metzapa ha'av livno. More so than any father is waiting for his son. Va'isha labala. More than any woman is waiting for her husband. More than any chassan is waiting for a kala and kala for a husband. More than anyone is waiting for a bus. More than anyone is waiting for their order to come out in the restaurant. More than anyone is waiting for birth or waiting for good news or waiting to hit the jackpot. More than all of the waiting in all of mankind, Hashem is waiting shi'asu tshuva. Hashem is waiting for us. For us to turn to Him. Kedei shi'gal osam. V'yibana lehem beis ha-mikdash. In his bar ma'at godel ha-star of ha-lama. Shaya b'zmanam shal Mordechai v'Esther. Just for a moment to enter into the headspace of the flip side of Tisha B'Av, which is Purim. Into the darkness and the concealment of the days of Mordechai and Esther. V'godel ha-nes v'yeshua shaya sham l'vnei Yisrael. And the incredible turnaround, the amazing hipuch, the turnabout that happened in those days. Everyone was bowing down to Haman. Everyone was enjoying the Seud of Achashverosh. Not fancy dips and artisan cuts of meat from Haimisha, fancy butchers in Brooklyn and Park Slope or whatever. Not that we were Vayishman, Yeshur, and Vayivat, that we were enjoying the Golos, but everything was Mahadrin. We were literally sitting in the Seud of Achashverosh, who is mocking us, wearing the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, serving us on Kelim, Kelim Shonim. Because as the Gemara explains, Achashverosh maintained, based on his cheshbon, that the 70 years that were promised, that after these 70 years of exile, Shem would return the Jewish people and restore the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara Megillah goes through it. Achashverosh figured out that these 70 years had passed. So that's it, game over. So he made a big Seuda, the Gemara says, to celebrate not just the Churban Bayis, but that the story of the Jewish people and Hashem Yisrael is over. And to mock us, he put on the clothing of the Kohen Gadol and served us on the vessels of the temple. And we ate. And not just did we eat, but shenehenu, we enjoyed it. Like my brother-in-law would say, we sucked the bones. Yeah? Last Musa before Bein Azman. L'marot shechatu v'naflu b'chatoim chamurim. Despite the fact that we're stuck in idolatry, v'yubishofel ha-madrega, and we were in the lowest of levels, k'chol sha'adam yisbonin yeter b'chol zeh, if we really consider and think about it, yuchal ha'ir gam es ha'alamos v'hastaros ha'ovrim alav. Light of Hashem Yisparach can be revealed, is revealed, specifically there. Tisha B'Av wakes up that feeling of being lost, of wandering, of waiting restlessly, of crying out Ad Masai, of staring into the Ha'alama of Beis Paro, of the Beis Hatzlamim, Golos, Churban, of Krach Gadol Shebarom, or Parksville, or Washington Heights, or Teaneck, or whatever. And this whole experience of Tisha B'Av is one Ayin Mekom Kvoda. The story that's told, that's given over in the expanded 12-step literature. I don't know, maybe it was Rabbi Saul Salanter, Lahavdol, Confucius. Unclear, bless you, exactly where it comes from. But now it's part of our tradition also. But it once happened that a little girl was enjoying some time with the family. They were out on a tiyul. And this little girl wandered off and got separated from her parents and became lost. She was somewhere lost in the forest. The parents and siblings and soon family and friends and soon the entire village came out looking for her. Where could she be? And as the sun began to set in this heavy forest, people began to panic and give up hope. But what are they going to do? There's no light. We couldn't find her. It was impossible to continue to search through the night, and they said, let's wait until morning. But there was one person who didn't give up, who didn't stop looking. Her father said, how can I sleep? How can I leave her in her time of need? The father continued to search and search and search. A father in Vald, father in the forest, searching for his lost daughter. In the meantime, the sun had set, it was dark and it was scary. So this child went to sleep, laid down and went to sleep. As the father was searching through the forest, he stumbled over his child who was sleeping. She heard the noise of the twigs cracking around her, and she woke up with a start. And she saw her father, and she said, "Daddy, I found you." And her father looks down and says, "Yes, yes, you found me, you found me." Gullus is a state of being lost, and Gullus is a state of being asleep. Hashem Yisbarach is searching for us. And there are moments when we wake up, where we find God. We have a moment of inspiration, of clarity, and we say, "Ah, I found God. I get it. That was a great shir, that was a great davening. Nates at the Kotel. Something uplifting, something inspiring. I found you, God." And Hashem says, "Yes, yes, you found me." Again, the challenge is not finding a hidden God. It's allowing ourselves to be found by a God who's in hiding. Al mishkavi balelos bikashti et shava nafshi. Bikashti v'lo mitzativ. From our beds where we sleep at night, we're yearning after and searching after our beloved, but we don't find him. Akumana v'asovva ba'ir b'shvakim b'rechavot avaksha shava nafshi. Kashti v'lo mitzativ. We're searching and yearning and looking. Mitzauni ashomrim asovvim ba'ir. And sha'av anafshi re'isam. The shomrim. We ask the shomrim, "Have you seen? Have you seen him?" Shir Shirim continues. Kimat sha'avarti mahem. I had just passed them by. Ad sha'matzasi sha'av anafshi. When I found him whom my soul loves. Achaztiv, achaztiv, v'lo arpenu. I held on to him and didn't let go. Says the Gaon HaTzadik, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter Shlita, achaztiv v'lo arpenu. What does it mean after all this yearning and searching? Where is God? Where can I find him? In Rome, here, in the street, in the shuk, in the field. Finally, I found him. Achazti v'lo arpenu. Says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, achazti v'lo arpenu is the olam hamitbodeid. What it means to grab onto God, to hold on and not let go. Matzasa, to find God. Matzasa sha'av nafshi. The place where we find God and God finds us, where we cleave to and hold on without letting go, it's called hisbordus. It's a meeting place of waiting and wanting and searching, of hiding and finding, of Eicha Yashva Badad, and Havaya Badad Yanchenu. In his Vodudus, when we talk to Hashem, in our own words, when we stand before God and we say, "Abba, Tata, Dad, Father, Mother, Parent," when we break through all of those walls, we cut through all of the confusion and we untie all the knots and we just breathe and speak naturally, simply. It becomes clear that the shomer at the edge of the forest, that the child in the narrative, in the fater involved, in the shpoler zeta's tikkun chatzos, says, "Tate, fater, fater, I want to come home. But what can I do? There's a shomer at the gate." In his bodidus, in maintaining a consistent practice of speaking to Hashem in our own words, of achazti v'lo arpenu, it becomes clear to us that the shomer that's preventing the son from coming home and coming back to his father is me. I'm that shomer. There's no wall. There's no boundary. becomes clear that even though I'm sleeping, even though it's dark, libi air, inside there's a world of light. The deepest part of me, hasn't given up. And that the only thing that's holding me back from standing, not just before my Father, but with my Father, is me. Life is a game of hide and seek. It's not a game of hide and give up. When we call out Ayi Mekom Kvodo, Hashem Yisbarach isn't hidden anymore. The hiddenness is Hashem Yisbarach. And in his Bodidus, you could find God finding me, because I can't hide, and Hashem can't hide either. See, when we open up a siddur, we come to shul, we stand formally before God, there's a liturgy, there's a text. There's boundaries, there's limits to what can happen during that. There's a Shemoneh Esrei, there's Shema, there's halachos about when you can speak, what we could say, how to say it, Lashon Kodesh, not Lashon Kodesh. Kan HaBen Shoel, right? It's formally. But in his Bodidus, when we go and sit by the baseball field a few minutes, or by the track, or even in our own bed, or some place here in these incredible woods that are literally waiting for us to be lost inside of them, we could be ourselves. And Hashem, so to speak, could be himself too. He's not stuck in Elohim, in Adonai, in Baruch Atta, in Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso, not in Aharachaman, not in Shechina. But Hashem is free to be himself too. Permission to stand down? Permission to approach the bench, Your Honor? That's when the lawyers can kind of drop all the pretense and all the script and all of the formalities and come to the judge and say, okay, this is getting crazy. We have to figure out a deal over here. Hashem is the judge, ein malasot. But there is permission to approach the bench. That's called his bodidus. Chazti v'lo arpenu. To hold on and not let go. We can be found together. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuvam. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, return us to you, v'nashuvam will return. Shuva Elai v'ashuva Elechem. Eicha, Ayeka, who's looking for who, who's returning to who, it doesn't matter. In his Bodidus, Ayeka and Eicha becomes Hineni. In his Bodidus, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, and Shuva Elai v'ashuva Elechem, Av, Ben, becomes one. Being lost, being found, hiding and seeking, it's all together in the same place. That's where Rav Weinberger explained when Hashem says that I took Avram Avinu from Ur Kasdim. I pulled Avram Avinu from a place of idolatry. Atu Hashem Elokim Asher Bacharta BeAvram. Ve'otzeiso me'Ur Kasdim. I took him out of a Beis Atzlamim, out of the Beis Paro, out of a Kivshan Eish, out of a place of idolatry. V'sam t'shmo Avraham u'matzasa es levavo ne'eman lefanacha, and found that his heart was ne'eman. In all of this hiding and seeking and finding and searching, it's clear b'makor sheli ani tov gamur abba v'sham ani ma'amin ba'atzmi. When I stand before Hashem honestly, openly, not afraid, hiding and seeking, being lost, being found, I express my true self. Hashem is able to take off his garments and reveal his true self as well. And we'll find God, and God will find us. And we'll hold on to each other, achazti v'lo arpenu, matzasa as levavo neman ufanecha. It'll be clear to us, and it'll be clear to Hashem, that throughout this entire gullus, throughout this entire process of being hidden and being lost and being stuck, the entire time, it looks like we were sleeping. But libi air. Our hearts were alive, were on fire with godliness, on fire with kedusha, on fire for Hashem Yisbarach, and Hashem will find us Neman Lefanav, and we'll find that Hashem is Neman to us as well. Hashem should help that this be the last time that we get together on a Motzei Tisha B'Av, after having fasted and mourned together. In these days of Yagon and Anocha, should be Nepach, the days of Ora, Simcha, Sasan, Vika. Amen.